Good evening. Well, let us pray. Precious Father, we give you praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving for our apostle, for the apostolic call that's upon his life, for his teaching, for his insight. We cannot pay for that. We appreciate it. We thank you for apostolic government and instruction. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who made it all possible because he's the one that gave gifts unto men. He gave us the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to mature us, to perfect us. And we're so thankful for it. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to teach these students. Give them insight. Cause them to see as our apostles see. Cause them to see as you see. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, welcome to the students that are online by internet. One of the things we're going to have to do in class, you know, I may tell you read, you know, the introduction, chapter 1, chapter 2. But this year in particular, we're going to have to become more intense about reading these books. Amen. I mean, I know you're working, you have all these things, but once you commit to something, you got to do it. Amen? Amen. We did it to earn secular degrees. We took night classes. Amen. Amen. So we can get a little certificate that don't get you too far out here. Amen. Amen. But in the realm of the spirit, you can advance. Now, this class is Catching the Waves of Revival. We're in chapter 1. Chapter 1, we're going to pick up from where we left off. That's why, you know, so we can cover a lot more territory. Chapter 1 talks about revival is a divine attack on society. That simply means that if we're in the midst of a revival, then all of society should be impacted by that revival. All right? We're going to pick up with revival begins with a supernatural source. Amen. You got it? You found it yet? Huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's roll.
Revival breaks forth.
Revival breaks forth.
From a hope.
From a hope.
That does not disappoint.
Revival breaks forth from a what? A hope that does not what? Now, let's talk about that for just 1 second. Put a pin there. The scripture says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when somebody promise you something and they don't keep their word, come on now. Husbands, wives, come on, talk to me. See, I know a lot about that. I always tease my wife. She say, baby, when we get married, I'm going to fix you breakfast every morning. Yeah, Lord, you my sugar pie honey bun. I'm going to make sure you have a nice full breakfast. Well, let's see. This is year 38. I think she meant the children that come forth. I'm going to make sure they got it. But that's all right. I just used that to have fun. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. See, God is the God. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Hoped. Past tense. Not stuff I'm hoping for. Hoped for. Hoped is based upon a promise that was made. You have no right to have hope except somebody promised you something. Did you catch that? So, God does not make a promise he cannot fulfill. As a matter of fact, it's fulfilled when he speaks it. So, revival breaks forth from that hope. You listening? That you will never be disappointed if God said it. Are you listening? All right, go ahead, sir.
In Judges chapter 15, verse 19.
In Judges 15, 19.
It reveals that Samson's.
The scriptures reveal that Samson.
Thirst was quenched.
His thirst was quenched.
By the water that came out from a supernatural.
By the water that came from a super. Notice what it says. A supernatural what? source. Read.
Which caused his strength.
Which caused his strength.
To return.
To return.
And he was revived.
And he was revived. So what does that speak to you and I in this generation? That in order for us to have the strength to keep going. Because, you know, people grow weary doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Don't sit up here all sanctimonious on me. The longer you do something right, it don't look like it's working, the more discouraged you can become, except you have a supernatural hope and a supernatural source of that hope being God. Are you listening? See, the supernatural is after we do everything we could do in the natural. It takes human responsibility. We're going to get to that. Keep reading.
Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst.
Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst.
That only a supernatural source.
That only a supernatural source.
Can satisfy.
Can satisfy. Only a what? Supernatural. So the only supernatural source we have is who?
God.
Well, we don't want the other one.
No.
Satan. We don't want nothing from him. So we have to make God our supernatural source. And oftentimes God gives us instructions, come on now, that the natural mind does not want to follow. This health thing is a revival. Oh, I know it's going to get quiet. Apostle, talk about chicken. Oh, Lord Jesus. Apostle, you take away my chicken. But listen, 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 listen. We wouldn't struggle with things when we understand a person's heart. Are you listening? You understand? This is apostolic. We have too many people in the church sick. This is a revival. Ain't no sense laying hands on folks. See, a lot of that is to bring attention to yourself. The great healing evangelist. Well, let's have the great healing word. Amen. I'd rather have a church with none sick than have to pray for one. Are you listening? Because that bespeaks that God's word is true. Come on, read, son.
Revival is
the coming in of
a new freshness from the supernatural provision of God.
From the supernatural provision of God. I love the way God do things. He's fresh. You know what that means? He never does the same thing the same way twice. So get off of that miracle you got that way the last time. God don't work like that. Are you listening to me? Jesus didn't do the same thing. With some blind men, he would say, one blind man came to him. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. That means the pool of Ascension. Come on now. Mm-hmm. Two other blind men came to him. He said, do you believe I can do this for you? Are you listening to me? He never does it the same way. What? Because he's supernatural. He is unlimited in how he can function. Read.
In 1 Kings chapter 17.
In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 22.
It reveals that Elijah. Prayer was heard and God responded.
That Elijah's prayer was heard and God responded.
To his voice.
To the voice.
By reviving and restoring the child.
All right. So God responds to the voice of prayer. God what? Responds to the what? To the voice of prayer. Prayer. See, God hears people. 2 Chronicles 7:14 bespeaks revival. If my people, which are called by my name, would what? Y'all ought to know that now. That's a good Kojic scripture. If you ain't Kojic, come on somebody, would humble themselves and what?
Pray.
Humble themselves and pray. So it takes humility to pray. Would humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face. You ought to turn to it if you ain't got it. And seek my face and do what? And turn from that. No, this ain't talking to no sinner. God said, if my people. See, the church don't want to deal with that. Everybody in the church saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't do no sin all day long. That's wonderful if that's what happened. Now, come on now. I say that's wonderful if that's what happened. Amen. When that car cut you off and you shot the bird at him, or you called them some names that nobody in the church is familiar with. Amen. See, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then God say what? Then will I hear from heaven. and I will heal their land. Are you listening? So that's revival. It's our responsibility. God cannot create or cause revival by himself. He needs some humans to cooperate with him. Come on, read, sir.
Revival starts in response to our voice of prayer.
Revival starts with a response to our voice of prayer. Read.
God moves in response.
God moves in response.
To our intercession and praise.
To our intercession and our praise.
Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility.
I like that. Revival has a lot to do with what?
Human responsibility.
Y'all ever, I mean, any of y'all been in the church where they say, Lord, we're waiting on you. Oh, Lord, some of y'all prayed that prayer. Lord, I'm waiting on you. And God be looking at Jesus and look at the Holy Ghost and say, what? Well, I thought all of my work was finished before the foundation of the world. See, God's work is complete. God's word is done. God ain't doing nothing no more. I don't know why people get upset. God is not doing. How is God doing anything when God say, I'm resting? It is finished. It is done. No, I need somebody to take responsibility for what I have empowered them to do. Notice the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. He never prayed to the Father to do nothing. There y'all go. I see some of y'all, huh? No, he didn't. He only did what he was authorized to do. Read your own Bible. Jesus would say, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, if you want to heal this person, God, he did that. He say, leper, be cleansed. Are you listening? Huh? Blind eyes, be open. Deaf ears, hear. Come on now, it doesn't matter what the condition is. He did it because he was authorized to do it. In a revival, we are authorized to do what God sent us to do. And that's what's going to create the revival that we want to see, a desire to see, God's power and God's glory in this generation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to read about what all they did. I don't mean I don't want to read about it literally, but what I'm saying is, what good is it to get excited about what they done and we don't see it happening today? Read, son.
Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility.
Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility.
Activating a supernatural move of God.
Activating a supernatural move of God.
God cannot and will not.
God cannot and will not.
Start a revival by himself.
Start a revival by himself. Did y'all catch that? What am I saying to you here in this class and online? You have a responsibility, or you have a part to play in revival. Read.
In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21.
In 2 Kings 13, 21.
It reveals that a dead man. Came to life. When his corpse touched the bones of Elijah.
A dead man fell up on the bones of one of God's servants. Are you listening? Who was buried. That was the prophet Elisha. If you don't not familiar with this text. It was the prophet Elisha. His servant Gehazi should have received his anointing. But his servant got off. Are you listening? He wanted something before the time. You just need to read. That's why you read all of this. But this is to show you that anointings remain in the earth realm. Because they need to be passed on. And here's a dead man. Elisha the prophet is buried. His sepulcher is in the grave. But his bones, he's so anointed that his bones got them. See, some of y'all hadn't been around real men and women of God. I dare you, go touch apostle when he ministering. Yeah. See, I'm talking about the authentic here. Are you listening? One time his cuff was kind of, you know how sometimes our cuffs get caught up on our, and I walked up, because I want my dad to look nice, you know. So I went up there and I grabbed his cuff. And his cuff grabbed me. Y'all will catch up with that later. Oh, yeah. That meant that the anointing that was flowing through him at that time, huh? See, remember, the woman with the issue of blood said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Well, she touched the H-E-M, But the power came from the H-I-M. The H-E-M was on the H-I-M, and the power flowed, and she got healed. That's revival. Read, son.
Revival starts with the principle of continuous.
Revival starts with the principle of continuous. Y'all know what that means, huh? Huh? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Make you free. But you have to do what? Continue. A lot of people start. It's not how you start, it's how you
finish.
And you can only finish strong if you're continuing. That's why I tell students, first-year students, second-year students, you do not graduate from this training center when you get that paper. You must remain connected to the apostolic. Jesus told the 12 apostles that he was training. I'm about to leave you. But it is important for you to receive the one who's training me. I'm coming back. There's some stuff I want to say to you, but you ain't even ready to handle it yet. But when the Holy Ghost comes, in case most of y'all don't know it, the Holy Spirit, everybody keep looking for the second coming of Christ. I wish they would just read the Bible. He been here. They get the second coming mixed up with he coming back. Jesus, read St. John 14, 15, 16. I dare you, just read it. Jesus told those men, see, Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. Holy Spirit is God in us. When Jesus said he was sending another comforter, he was talking about another of the same sort, another of the same kind. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm coming back to you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm coming back to you. I'm not coming back to you in the flesh. I'm coming back to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. In that respect, he's here. Are you listening? That's why New Testament revival is all day, every day. Read, son.
Revival starts. When we become fully submerged. In the teaching and revelations. Of the old order. And we become baptized. By their message.
Now, children, let me say something to you. It's something about, we kind of push the older generation off to the side. Come on now. Mom and them too old. They don't kind of know what they're talking about. It's one thing about the generations who go before us, just like we do with our children, right? We see what they're about to do a mile away. How? Because we've been there before. Our parents told us, I saw that coming 2 miles. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Well, let me say this to you. We in the New Testament church have discredited the Old Covenant. You have people say, oh, don't read the Old Testament, just read the New. That don't make no sense, because most of the new is extracted out of the old. Here's something you need to hear. Revelation is not in just testaments. Revelation supersedes testaments. There's revelation that God gave under the old covenant that you could walk in today. All things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So if you don't catch the old, you can't walk into the new. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. That's not talking about the Old Testament, baby. That's talking about you and your ability to change your way of thinking. Come on, read, son.
We need to touch the bones of our forefathers.
We need to touch the bones of our forefathers.
If we're going to carry on. From the old into the new today.
I call that apostolic succession. Something we don't see in the church. In order for me to carry the spirit of Apostle Thompson, I must be vitally connected to him. Watch this. At all times. I could never get it in my heart or in my mind or in my thinking that I'm greater than him. I don't have nobody shouting now. You cannot follow somebody closely if you don't have respect for them. That's why so many young men out there with churches that God never sent them to start. Are you listening? You don't even want to go into ministry if you don't carry the spirit of your father. Jesus said, I come to do. the will of my Father. But young men out here today want to preach not doing the will of their Father. It's one thing to be sent out. It's another thing to just go out. I believe that every church must be properly connected to a Father that sent them out. For Jesus came to glorify his Father. And ministry is about glorifying the Father. This generation don't want that though. Come on, talk to me. That's why we got 400 churches in one city and the whole city is not being impacted. Because somebody left out from you and went started a church 10 minutes from you, 20 minutes from you. Hello. Oh, Lord. I hope that ain't none of nobody made kind of quiet in here. Come on, go ahead on. Move, sir.
Revival starts.
Revival starts.
When God restores the heart of the fathers.
Revival starts. Here it is. When God restores the hearts of the fathers.
To the children.
To the children.
And the heart of the children.
And the hearts of the children.
To their father.
To their father. Notice what it said. The fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. This I had a great man tell me this one day. That's why I know how to follow. A son can never be greater than his father. The purpose of a son is to honor his father. And if a son honors his father, then the son himself will be honored. Oh, you got, you have it? Read.
All these groups of people.
All these groups of people are the recipients of revival. Come on, let's go. Read.
In the book.
In the book.
Reviving Revival.
This is another book, not this one. In the book, Reviving Revival.
It is noted that there are seven outstanding revivals.
It is noted that there are seven outstanding revivals.
In the Old Testament.
In the Old Testament.
One.
The first one. Number one.
Jacob's household.
Jacob's household.
Genesis 35, 1 through 15.
All right, now y'all read that. Now y'all know we don't have time to do that. Genesis chapter number 35, verses 1 through 15. All I'm going to do is give you highlights of what took place during that revival. Are you listening? Okay, read.
Jacob said to all of his household.
Now, Jacob said to all of his household.
And all who was with him to get rid.
And all who was with him to get rid of.
All the foreign gods.
All of the what? Foreign gods.
Purify yourselves.
Then he noticed the next thing. Number one, get rid of all of the what? Foreign gods. Then do what? Purify your. Purify who?
Yourself.
Purify who?
Yourself.
See. I'm a Kojic boy, and I was taught sanctification and purification from the standpoint of don't wear this, don't do that. Hello, somebody. Amen. So. You know, the women, most of the rules were for the women. No hats, no makeup, no pants, no sundresses. Got to have stockings on. Dress have to be 6 inches below the knee. No jewelry. Y'all kind of quiet. I hope I ain't touching no hot spots up in here. You know, the men didn't seem to have no, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, don't run women. All that's fine and dandy, but here's the truth about sanctification. You cannot sanctify yourself apart from the Holy Spirit. Hello? You can't do it on your own. You need help. You need help. All right? But watch this. Even though the scripture teaches justification by faith, sanctification is how we work out our own soul salvation. You listening to me? See, in revival, we got to come back to God. Mm-hmm. We got to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. God can't make me separate unto himself. I got to do that. Romans chapter 6 say I can only do that if I'm a dead man. If I'm a dead man, then I could live sanctified. But as long as I'm alive, and y'all know flesh can rise every day. Now y'all don't want to talk. Apostle talk about not eating that chicken. Uh-huh. French fries. Come on now. Steaks. Krispy Kreme donuts. Hello. I'm a Hubis pie man. You got to be from New Orleans to know what that is. That's them lemon pies that's baked. I had to have them with some pus on the side full of ice. Oh, yeah. Amen. Heated up in a microwave. So, and hey, I mean, the proof is in the eating of the pudding. Amen. I mean, I follow apostles, so he can't be teaching one thing, and I'll be close to him and say, well, I ain't, man, that's dead thing. I'm going to get me some of that fried chicken. Well, I do love that chicken from Popeyes, but I don't love what it do to me. So I had to tell it, see ya. Peace. Amen. So apostle ain't the only one. Amen. I believe in what he's ministering. So I decided to make a change. Amen. So I don't eat no meat. He didn't forbid me to. He gave me enough information so I can make the right choice. That's all he's saying. Watch this. That's apostolic, that's prophetic, and that's revival. Because I believe we're going to see some believers living longer. Might be you if you pay attention. I know some of y'all going to leave out here tonight and get a McDonald's something. Amen. Jack in the Box. Amen. Don't act like I don't know. Well, man of God, I ain't all the way there yet. We understand it's a process. Amen. So we ain't trying to condemn you, but pay attention. Read.
Purify yourselves and change your clothes.
He said, purify yourselves, change your clothes.
Then come, let us go to Bethel.
And then come, let us go to Bethel, which is the house of God.
Where I will build an altar to God.
Where I'm going to build an altar unto God.
Some things will have to be changed.
Some things will have to be changed.
In your people, in order for revival to take place.
Some things have to be changed in our people. Put it another way. Something got to be changed in me. Revival begins with me. That's the kind of attitude you have to have. Y'all know church people sit up when the man of God ministering. Guess who they thinking about? The person who next to them or the person not there. Oh, come on now. Well, I wish Sister So-and-so was here. She needed to hear that tonight. And the Lord would say unto you, you the one who needed to hear it. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I saw. No, man of God. Go ahead, read, sir.
They gave Jacob all the foreign gods.
They gave Jacob all the foreign gods.
They have and all the rings in their ear.
And they gave him all the rings in their ear.
And Jacob buried them.
And Jacob did what? Buried them. Rings in your ear mean you're a slave. Amen. So they got rid of their slavery. Oh, Lord, don't even say it. Wasn't talking about the women now. It's okay for women here. Oh, Lord, don't go there, Reverend. Because you got the cute men in church today. They got diamond studs. Then they get mad with the man of God. Well, who you? Come on.
The next statement says the Lord.
The next what?
The next statement says the Lord.
The next statement says the Lord.
Responded immediately.
Responded immediately.
To their service of rededication.
To their service of rededication. In other words, when they did all those things that he required them to do, God responded to them. All right, next one.
The threat of an enemy invitation.
The threat of the enemy's invitation.
Immediately ended.
They were coming against him. Revival turned it away. All right, go ahead.
They had to have someone who set the house in order.
They had to have someone who does what? You got to have somebody who you respect enough to get in your face. Y'all know we don't like that today, right? Because I'm free. Well, here's something you need to understand about freedom. Every place that I go to, I can see people submit to authority except for in the church. You cannot go to Burger King with a McDonald's uniform. You don't go to Burger King telling them you don't like the look. I don't like the way this King outfit look. Come on. Amen. But when we come to the church, we always want to challenge things. Amen. Amen. We bring Walmart more offerings during the course of a week. And a man of God can't even receive a offering because it's too many. Well, did you give too many offerings that week? Because every place you went to eat was an offering. That's all right. Come on, Reverend. You messing with us right now. Come on. Go ahead. Read, sir.
Revival came to Israel.
Revival came to Israel.
Because they had been without the true God.
Revival came to Israel because they had been without the true God.
Or a teaching priest or instruction.
Did you, without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without instruction. Could you imagine that? But can I say something? That's where the church is today. Are you listening? Because they don't want to know the true God. Today we want to make up our own God. Make up our own rules. It don't work like that. You're going to have to follow. And that's why I like apostles and prophets. They are government. They are interested heaven to earth government. We're not being trained to go to heaven. In the apostolic, we're training heaven coming to earth. Y'all understand that? Ain't no sense you sitting up here like we trying to teach you to go to heaven. This ain't about going to heaven. This is about bringing heaven down here. Read.
When Asa heard the word of Azara, the priest Asa took courage. And renovated God's altar. Revival came. The people rejoiced. And the Lord gave them rest on every side.
And the Lord gave them what? Rest on every side. But you have to follow instruction. See, when the word of the Lord comes, it's for us to follow what? Instruction. Let me tell you something about following someone like Apostle. You're not paid to understand what he's saying. We're paid to follow. Are you listening? We got to be led. We're sheep. You have to know how to switch hats. If you're a man of God and you have an apostle that you're submitted to, then you need to be submitted to him. Not trying to show him how much revelation you have. Because that's not the real son. A real son wants to hear his father, receive from his father. Hello. Oh, Lord. This generation don't want this. Oh, Lord. Dad, let me show you what revelation the Lord gave me. Come on now. Grow up. If you pay attention, there will come a time for you to go out and do that. Y'all know the greatest compliment a son can get? Huh? You sound like your father. Y'all not talking to me. Y'all not talking to me. Your son, I hear your father in you. That meant you followed close enough to get his spirit. That's the greatest compliment to a son. Quit letting people make you think you're greater than your father. You more anointed. Come on, read, sir.
Revival came.
That's all right. Huh? Some of these people, I tell them, they get to reading this. Some of these people, I say they must have come from black families. Because we the only one name our children stuff that you can't pronounce. Send the child my child name is Tarika. I mean, y'all know we got some names out there. So don't. We don't have Sally, Jane, Bob, and all that. We don't have all that. So as we were studying through these lessons, I say, listen, don't worry about the name. We don't have Hebrew scholars in here. Just give it the best shot. If one of y'all know the name, call it out. Who is it now?
Jehoiada.
That's not it. Keep reading.
The priest gave instruction. When all the people of the land. They went to the people of Baal. And tore it down.
The priest gave instructions, tear that altar from Baal, tear it down. Read.
They killed the wicked king's mama. Jehoshaphat replaced the wicked king on the royal throne. And all the people rejoiced. And revival came in the land. And the city was calm.
And the city was what? Calm, or the city had rest. But you notice there's something you got to do. The man in charge got to do something. That's all these examples are giving you. Go ahead, read the next one.
Revival under King Hezekiah. Is one of the most sudden of those recorded in Scripture.
It's one of the most sudden revivals of all of those seven revivals recorded in Scripture.
Hezekiah, and all the people rejoiced.
And all the people rejoiced
at what God had brought about.
At what God had brought about
for His people.
For His people,
because it was done so quickly.
Because it was done what? So quickly. Now I'm saying that to you because you see, in this generation, God say, "I'm gonna do a what?" Say it. You know it. I'm gonna do a what? See, God do things. If the Old Testament is a type and a shadow, then the New Testament is the real deal. Are you listening? I'm telling you, God is doing a quick work. Things have sped up. You can see that in the natural. How many times are you saying it's already September? I thought Christmas was last week. Because you could tell, watch this, you could tell right now things are speeding up. Is that right? Years seem like they run together. That child that was 5 is now in college. I believe God is speeding things up. He's doing a quick work. Read.
He began a work of restoration. At the beginning of his reign.
At the beginning of King Hezekiah's reign.
Within a couple of months.
The whole land.
Was swept with a wave of spiritual enthusiasm. He knew. What he was doing. Consecration. A recommitment.
To the covenant.
Purification of the temple. Restoration of worship. And sacrifice and singing. Were all marks of this revival.
It just, King Hezekiah. Now, y'all know Hezekiah also, they told him he was going to die, and he looked at the wall and said, "Lord, I've been faithful." Well, you can see he started off what? Changing things. And remember, revival is not a revival unless the whole society is being impacted. Now, revival is not them things we call and we just meet. I can see none of y'all never been to a revival. That's all right. Y'all have never been to these revivals I came up in. So, I'm a Kojic child. So this generation could never handle a church I came out of because we had too much church. Amen. But I'm not going to go through it next, huh?
I don't need that.
Say what?
Time is up.
Yes. Well, why you didn't say nothing? All right, y'all. We'll start chapter 2, I believe, next week. Amen. Y'all have a blessed night. Amen.